Let's open the scriptures to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. The book of Matthew, chapter 13. I have another little throat procedure Friday that has left me just a little bit on the hoarse side. So we'll do the best we can. And I hope that the message will be audible and that will be understandable to each of you. Obviously, our subject is the parable of the sower, as the scripture was read to us in Matthew chapter 4. Our Lord Jesus gave forth several kingdom parables. Actually, Matthew is the only one who records all seven of the kingdom parables. Mark and Luke, they record a few of the kingdom parables. Only Matthew records all seven of them. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke record this one in its fullness. So that is worth remembering. These are the kingdom parables. Now, here's the way this developed. Our Lord Jesus had performed a great miracle, and as a result, many people were curious to see him and to listen to him. And he went down by the ocean side. He had such a vast congregation that he got into a little boat that was anchored, and everybody gathered on the seashore to listen to him teach. Now, as he gave forth these kingdom parables, he did so in fulfillment of the scriptures. Look with me in verses 34 and 35 of Matthew chapter 13. Verse 34 of Matthew 13, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. What is a parable? An earthly story, an illustration that delivers or speaks of a spiritual truth. And then he says, and without a parable spake he not unto them, at least on this occasion. Why was this so? Verse 35. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So here this vast multitudes are gathered before him, and he's speaking on this day only in parables. This manner of teaching was our Lord used an object or an event or some circumstance that was a daily thing, something they were familiar with. He often spoke this way. In John chapter 10, he said, I am the door. I am the door. Well, that's a good illustration, a door. What does a door do? A door lets you enter, and a door lets you exit. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. In our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, he talked about a narrow way and a broad way. That's understandable. He said of the narrow way, he said it leads to life eternal. He also said, few there be, just a few, find it. He said of the broad way, he said, many go on the broad way, the end thereof is death. He spoke in ways, in other words, he used illustrations that people could kind of take hold of. They could grasp what he was saying. Now, everybody didn't understand the spiritual meanings and all the spiritual ramifications of these illustrations, but at least they could understand the illustration. Like in that one in Matthew chapter 6, a narrow way and a broad way. It's understandable. There's just one way that leads to life everlasting. In fact, that one way, in being a narrow way, it is so narrow, it's the only way. It's the way Christ Jesus. And so he says in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When he says a narrow way, we understand you got to squeeze to get in. That is, there's no room for you and any baggage. No baggage. Leave your works behind. Leave your deeds behind. Leave all your prayers, your Bible readings, everything that you think merits something good from God. You've got to leave it all behind. You go through the entrance. You go through the door. You go through the entryway. You see, there is but one way to God. There is but one door of salvation. Several years ago, I think it was about 10, 12 years ago, there was a book written called, I think the name of it was The Ecumenical Jihad. Ecumenical Jihad. And in the book, this guy said, it doesn't make any difference which religion you embrace. It doesn't make any difference what you believe. Because all roads lead to God. All roads lead to heaven. So he said it doesn't make any difference whether you're a Baptist or a Buddhist. Doesn't make any difference whether you're a Methodist or a Muslim. That has no bearing. In fact, he said, you can even be an atheist. Because what is an atheist? He is in search of truth. Who is all truth? God is all truth. So in the end, God will even accept the atheist. Ecumenical. Everybody's going to the same place. Well, the only problem with that is, that's a lie. That's not true. The Lord Jesus said very, very specifically, I am the door. I am the way. There's just one way to God. There's just one door to God. So here's my meaning. Here's what I'm trying to say. Our Lord Jesus spoke in words, these illustrations people could understand. That is, they could understand what they meant physically and literally. But they couldn't understand the spiritual ramifications of them unless he gave them eyes to see and ears to hear. And that's what he's got to do for us today. Because we have the words on the pages of sacred scripture. We have the word of God. We have God's salvation. We read of God's grace. We read of God's mercy. We read of the Lord Jesus. We read of his blood and of his righteousness, of his satisfaction of divine justice. We hear the words. We see the words on the printed page. God has to give us understanding in the heart. This word of God is the seed that we sow, as in the parable. And as I sow the seed this morning, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm sowing the good seed. It's going to fall on all different kinds of ground. And the Lord's got to make his word prosperous and successful in those to whom he sends it. So our Lord uses illustrations to teach spiritual truth. Now, as a rule, every parable, every illustration that our Lord gave of spiritual truth, as a rule, each one has just one primary truth that's emphasized. Most everything else is incidental to the parable unless the Lord makes the application. And so when you get to a parable, as we're going to go through the kingdom parables, as the Lord gives an illustration, as he breaks it down, then we'll break it down. But if he doesn't do that, we have to be very careful in trying to make something out of an incidental segment of the parable. This is the first of a series of parables that our Lord gave to his disciples. And he always starts his parables with something that can be understood and then moves to something that they don't understand. He begins with something that people see, and he moves on to something that people cannot see. He starts with something natural, and then he moves to something that is supernatural. He starts with that which is material, and he moves on to that which is spiritual. He begins with that which is very common, and then he moves to that which is not common. He starts with something that is very simple, and then he moves on to that which is profound, very profound. So we're going to look today at the parable of the sower. Our brother has read to us the account that John Mark gave in the Gospel according to Mark. In this parable, there are just three elements. Very simple. Three components of the parable. There is the sower, and the seed, and the soil. That's all there is to the story. There is the sower, there is the seed, and there is the soil. In verse 3, the sower is the one who spreads the seed. You notice in Matthew chapter 13 in verse 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. He spreads the seed. Maybe our Lord was giving this parable at the time of the year when the sowers were going forth. And maybe he looked over, and I can just visualize him, and he sees a man who's got a leather bag strapped across his shoulders, and his bag is full of, let's say, wheat seed. And he puts his hand in the bag, he pulls out some seed, and he begins to broadcast it. And our Lord says, behold, a sower went forth to sow. You'll notice in verse 4, he then begins to tell what kinds of soil the seed fell upon. It says in verse 4, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. The fowls came and devoured them up. We know back then the fields were divided by paths. People walked along these paths. Animals walked upon these paths. They had wagons that trod. They rolled across these paths, and it was very hard, very, very hard pan ground, very packed down. The fields back then were basically divided by beaten paths. And so as this man, he's got his seed and is sowing it, some of it falls upon the hard pan. And of course, whenever a farmer was sowing, there were some that were greatly attracted to the sower, the birds, easy pickings. That is, the seed that fell upon the hard ground, upon the wayside, upon the paths, while the blackbirds were just kind of hovering above, and as he spread it and it got to the hard pan, they just swooped down, and of course they picked up the seed and took it away. I'll tell you, Luke tells us, and you don't have to look at this, but in Luke chapter 8 and verse 5, Luke tells us some of the seed that fell by the wayside was trodden down. That is, people walked on it. Here comes a man, he's riding on a mule. The mule walks on it. Behind him's a guy, he's in a wagon. The wagon wheel rides over the seeds. Behind him, some other people walking. Everybody's walking on the seed. Just, there's the seed trodden underfoot. If the birds don't get it, it's trodden underfoot. The seed that falls upon the wayside. But you know what? The man keeps on sowing the seed. He keeps on sowing the seed. And as he sows, some of the seed falls on stony ground. Verses 5 and 6. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. Forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. We know that in Palestine, They have large layers of limestone rock that lies just beneath the surface of the soil, a little deeper than a plow would go. Here comes a man, he's plowed the land. His plow doesn't quite get down, doesn't get down to the rock. Gets the soil, whatever soil is there. But there is a layer of limestone. And then he sows the seed. The seed falling into that kind of rocky stone would decompose, release its life. The warmth of the oil or the warmth of the soil with the moisture would cause the seed to germinate and send its roots down, but the roots couldn't go very far. The roots hit that hard rock. So the roots turn upward because you know what they're looking for? Looking for water, right? Looking for water. You know yourself, if you plant something and you water it just a little bit, that's not good. Because the roots then will go up looking for the water. If you're going to water it, you need to really throw the water to it, don't you? So the water goes down and then the roots go down. But when you got limestone beneath the soil, the roots can't find the water down there. They hit the rock and so they go up looking for water. Therefore, that plant grows fast. And maybe if it's a new farmer, he sees his wheat coming up really fast over there in that patch, and he says, wow, this is going to be a bumper crop. No, you're going to be greatly disappointed because it doesn't have any root. Then the sun comes out, and there is that little tender plant. It has no root, therefore it has no moisture. And it says it withered away. Thirdly, he keeps sowing. Some fell on ground where the thorns would grow. Verse number 7. Of course, when the farmer, he's out here and he's got his team of oxen, he's plowing the field. Here's some briars, here's some weeds. Well, he just turns that under. But it doesn't get the roots of those weeds. It just gets the tops of them. You know yourself in your garden. Or you got weeds growing in your garden. If you just go and break them off, man, they come back with a vengeance. Okay, whew, you got to get them up by the roots. What it is when they plow in the fields, this guy's plowing the field. His plow can't get down there deep enough to expose the roots of the weeds and the briars and the thorns. He just gets the top of them. Looks like really good soil. Sows the seed. Seed begins to come up. But guess what comes up faster? The weeds and the thorns. That's evidence of the fall, isn't it? That's what that is, evidence of the fall. And pretty soon, the weeds, they take the moisture. They take the nutrients. Then they grow so fast, they shade the tender little wheat plant from the sun. It withers and it dies. He keeps on sowing. And we find out in the next place, in verse number 8, some fell into good ground, brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Some of the ground is good. Oh, the plow tore it all to pieces. It's ready. It's ready. It's prepared. That seed goes in there. It falls in there. And it germinates, and he has a crop. Then, because all soils aren't created equal, because different moisture, different nutrients and so forth, different growing conditions, he has a crop, but some is 30, some is 60, some is 100. So our Lord gave forth this parable, and then he says in verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, he's saying to his disciples, and he's saying to everybody, here's this great congregation, he's out on the boat, and he says to all of them, do you understand what I'm saying? We learn from Mark's gospel and Luke, the multitudes left. And then Luke tells us this, just a few folks with his disciples. And they say, Lord, what does this mean? What does this mean? What are you talking about? And our Lord goes on to say, I speak this way in parables so that some can't hear. They can't understand. And I speak this way so that others are able to understand. Who hath eyes to see? Let him see. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. This morning, as I bring this message, as I set before you the parable of the sower. We'll talk about the sower, the seed, and the soul. Some of you will go away and you'll say, I understand. In fact, some of you already are saying, I know what this is about. I know what he's going to say because the Lord has already taught me about this. And I'm glad to hear the message again. I understand who the sower is, understand what the seed is, and understand these soils. And thank God my soil has been good. The soil of my heart has been made good by grace. God has prepared my heart to receive the gospel. I am one in whom the Spirit of God has done a work of grace. He has quickened me. He has given me new life. Life in Christ Jesus. And by the free grace of God, I can comprehend the gospel. I understand what the Lord Jesus is saying. And others will go away saying, don't get it. I just don't get it. And you never will get it unless God reveals it to you. So our Lord says, Do you see? Do you see what I'm saying in this? I note down in verse 18, he says to these that are left, and the multitude is now gone, just a few men, few ladies perhaps, with his disciples, he says to them, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. He begins to tell them what the parable is all about. He begins to give them spiritual understanding. Number one, here is the sower. The sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands, this is a person who is, the seed has been sowed. Now, in order to find out who the sower is, we go to a passage like Mark 4 in verse 14. Because in Mark 4:14, the Lord tells us the sower soweth the word. And then in Luke, we find out the sower is the Son of God. The Son of God himself. Look at Matthew 13:37. He gives us this. Matthew 13, verse 37. In response to what the disciples said in verse 36, they said, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And we'll get to that parable later, of course, another day. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So first of all, the one who sows is the Son of Man. Is the Lord Jesus himself. He is a preacher. He went forth preaching the gospel. And we know that everybody who preaches the gospel is a sower of the seed. No matter who it is. Apostle Paul, he was a sower of the seed. The Apostle John, he was a sower of the seed. Those of you who taught the Bible classes this morning, you were sowing the seed. I'm sowing the seed right now. We take the seed of the Word of God and we broadcast it. Now that one who sows the seed, that one who is the sower, he is not responsible for an increase. He is not responsible as to whether the wheat grows. He's only responsible for this, to sow the right seed. That's the beginning and the end of his responsibility. You remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the apostle says, I have planted, that is, I sowed the seed. He says, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. One sows, another waters it. God has to give the increase. What's going to happen this morning before the gospel of God's free grace, the gospel of redeeming love in Christ Jesus, What's going to happen before this seed will be successful in your heart, bringing forth fruit for the glory of God? Here's what's necessary. The Lord give the increase. I can't give the increase. When you brought me here to be your pastor, when you brought Bill to be your pastor, back when Henry was your pastor, for those of you who go back to that time, neither of us is responsible for the increase. It's our duty to be a faithful sower. We're stewards of the Word of God. We're stewards of the grace of God. We have been given the good seed, which I will show in a few minutes, of course, is the Word of God. Our responsibility is to sow the Word of God in its purity and in its plainness. It is to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's our job. And I'm sowing the seed as best I can this morning. Sowing the seed. Sower. Oh, he's important. But he's only important to broadcast the seed. In the germination of the good seed, we're nothing. We're nothing. It's not my job. It's not my responsibility. It's not within my power to make the Word of God effectual to you. Only God can make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Only God can make the dead to live. Only God can seek and save that which is lost. Only God can forgive the sinner. Only God can make us righteous in the Lord Jesus. Only God can give us a saving interest in the gospel of His free grace. That's the reason the Lord said, "Blessed are your eyes and blessed are your ears if you see and if you hear." Because God has given you eyes to see. He's given you ears to hear. At the very end of the kingdom parables, notice at the end of chapter 13, look at verse 51. Verse 51 of chapter 13. Jesus saith unto them, "Have you understood all these things? Have you understood all these things?" Now, as best I can, I want to make this understandable for you. Because there may be people watching on the internet, people who have gathered with us this morning, maybe this is all new to you. We want to make it understandable to you as best we can. But only the Lord can give you a spiritual understanding of the gospel of His grace. And these men said unto Him, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We understand. We comprehend. We know that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither indeed can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned." So we preach the gospel dependent upon the Spirit of grace. The sower, first of all, is the Son of Man. Secondly, it's every preacher of the gospel. And really, each of us who knows the Lord, we're sowers. You're to be a sower of the seed. And in fact, you work some fields that I don't work. Isn't that right? In your family? In your neighborhood? At your job? The field where you work? You're the sower. So I'm not very good. You got the good seed that I'm going to show you. All your responsibility to do is sow the seed. I'm not a farmer. I'm not either. Give me a sack of seed and I can throw it. Some of them may wind up my hair. Some of them may wind up down my shirt. But bless your heart, some of it's going to wind up on the soil. And if it's soil God has prepared, there'll be an increase. Isn't that right? So just sow the seed. Say, "I can't talk." Give a CD to somebody. This message was especially a blessing to me. Some particular message our preacher has preached, or some other preacher of the gospel has preached. You say, "I can't talk very good." Would you listen to this? I just want you, and I'm not even going to ask you what you think about it. Just go to your neighbor. Say, "Just listen to this. Here's a DVD. I know you got a DVD player. And this is a message that blessed me, and I just want to give it to you. You know what you're doing? Sowing the seed. Sowing the seed. Maybe a tract. Whatever. Maybe invite him to come to church to hear the good seed. Number two, the seed. So we know who the sower is. What about the seed? Well, in Luke 8, verse 11, now the parable of the seed, the parable is this. He said, Luke 8, 11, the seed is the word of God. Mark 4, 14 says, the sower sows the word. What do? We sow the word of God, the word that originated with God. It's not my word. It didn't come from me. This is the word that came to us from God. And I've got to say this first. First and foremost, the seed is the word of God. That is, that one who came down from heaven, who is the incarnate word. We preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. He's the seed that we sow. His message, the message of who he is and what he did, the message of why he did it, the message of where he is now. The seed is Christ Jesus the Lord. It's the gospel of his grace. And in a broader sense, it's the word of God, the written word of God. It's the incorruptible seed. 1 Peter chapter 1 says that. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. The word of God, oh, how vital it is. How vital it is. It's called in Hebrews 5 and verse 13, the word of righteousness, because it declares a righteousness God demands, a righteousness we can't produce, a righteousness that's to be found in Jesus Christ alone. It's called the word of life. Every other word in religion is death. This alone is the word of life. It's called the word of truth. The word of truth. It's called the word of Christ because it's all about him. It's called in 2 Corinthians 5 and 19 the word of reconciliation. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it's called the word of faith which we preach. Acts 15 verse 7, it's called the word of the gospel. Acts 14 verse 3, it's called the word of his grace. Acts 13, 26, it's called the word of salvation. Here in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 19, it's called the word of the kingdom. What is the seed that we sow? The word of God. The word of God. There will not be any spiritual harvest unless we sow the right seed. That's why we emphasize the word of God. We begin the service with the reading of the word of God. This service will be concluded with the reading of the Word of God. In the middle, we preach the Word of God. And isn't it sad that in so many congregations today, they won't even open the Word of God? They speak out of feel-good books, psychology books, Reader's Digest. We had a church up in Michigan, in that little town in which we lived. They did a whole series on the Andy Griffith Show. Teaches life's moral principles. No seed. And I promise you this. You sow the wrong seed, you needn't expect to reap a proper harvest. The only seed that will bring forth a harvest to the glory of God, a harvest of souls saved by the free grace of the Lord Jesus, souls washed in his blood and robed in his righteousness, is the seed of the gospel. That's why every time we gather, whether it's me up here speaking or one of the men that fills in for me, it's always the word of God. All of our thoughts, all of our words is centered around this book. It's the book of life. There won't be any harvest unless you have the right seed. Let's say a man wants to grow some grass. So he goes out and he takes with him a bag of jelly beans. And he spreads, he broadcasted jelly beans. We got some children in the congregation this morning. Man wants, let's say your dad tells you, I want you to take that bag of grass seed and go out there and sow it. You say, well, man, I like jelly beans. I think I'll sow jelly beans. Maybe I'll reap a jelly bean crop. So you take a bag of jelly beans and you go out distributing it. There won't be any grass. There won't be anything. You've got to have the right seed. And the seed is the Word of God. What does God use to gather His elect into the fold of salvation? What does He use in this mystery of regeneration? He uses the preaching of the good seed, a sower sowing the seed, the Word of God. That's why we make so much of this book. You can't emphasize the Word of God too much. We just scatter the seed. I know some of these folks have been around a while, our musicians, they remember the song, Scattering Precious Seed by the Wayside. Scattering precious seed by the hillside. Scattering precious seed o'er the field wide. Scattering precious seed by the way. Sowing in the morning. Sowing in the noontime. Just sowing, sowing. Sowing. That's the duty of this preacher. That's the duty of this congregation, to sow the precious seed. The last stanza of that song goes this way, sowing the precious seed, doubting never. Scattering precious seed, trusting ever. Sowing the word with much prayer and endeavor. Trusting the Lord for growth and for yield. We trust Him for the yield. We rely upon Him. Now here's the third thing, the soil. So we know who the sower is. It's everyone who sets forth the Word of God. The seed is indeed the gospel of God's grace. What is the soil? Look at verse 19. Matthew 13. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. That's what the soil is. The sower is the Lord Jesus, every preacher of the gospel, everyone that tells the story. The seed is the gospel of God's grace. The soil, that's the heart. It's the heart of man. The Lord is teaching this. The results of the preaching of the gospel is dependent not upon the sower, but upon the quality of the seed and the condition of the heart. That's what it's dependent upon. Watch this. Some of the seed fell by the wayside, hard ground, where everybody walked, where the birds just swoop down, eat the seed, take it away. No possibility of the seed germinating, no possibility of any yield. Remember, the soil is the heart of man, which is hard, lifeless. Jeremiah said it's hard as a rock, stony heart. That's what he says, stony heart. God's got to take it away. Give us a heart of flesh. What happens to the seed of somebody who's stony hearted? And who is a stony hearted person? It's really a person who has absolutely no interest in the gospel. In fact, they say, I'm dead set against it. And there may be somebody like that here this morning, somebody watching on the internet, and we even would wonder, why are you here? Why are you here? So I don't believe that stuff. You can have that religion if you want to, but it's not for me. You got a heart that's hard. Hard. It's not for me. You say, well, why do people like that come to church? For appearance sake? Out of habit? What would people think of you if you didn't go to church on Sunday? But they come reluctantly. not to be under the sound of the gospel, not so that some of the seed would fall on them, but they're just here. Of course, really brought by the providence of God, though they don't recognize that. Well, here's what's going to happen to a hard, stony ground, or to a person who's got a hard heart, the wayside here. One of two things is going to happen. Number one, the blackbird, Satan, and his demons, they'll swoop down and take the seed right away from you. As soon as you get out of here, you'll go outside. Boy, it's a beautiful day. Where are we going to eat lunch today? What restaurant? Well, let's see, which one won't be so busy? Well, he didn't preach too long today. Maybe we can get in early. And the seed is just gone. Just that quick. And others, the seed is trampled upon. Hebrews chapter 10 talks about the Word of God trodden underfoot. You've trodden underfoot the Word of God. Just walk all over it. Fell by the wayside. But some of it falls on stony ground. Look at verses 20 and 21. Having said in verse 19, anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that received seed by the wayside. Verse 20, but he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it, but he doesn't have any root in himself, endureth just for a little bit. And when persecution, tribulation arises because of the word, he's offended. This is the person who receives the word and says, wow, this is good. And they just make a decision and say, boy, it's easy getting saved. I just go down the aisle, I make a profession, I'll get baptized, and there's somebody else maybe set beside of them. They say, and they look at that person and say, what's the matter with you? How come you don't get saved like I did? There's nothing to it. It's easy as falling off a log. I'm so happy in Jesus. Whoopee, I'm going to heaven and I'm not going to hell. And then, not having any root, somebody confronts them about this gospel. Well, you know what you're saying is, that you don't have, you know what that preacher's really saying? You don't have anything to do with salvation. Pretty soon they get offended by the word. There's no moisture of the Holy Spirit. There's no work of grace in the heart. There's no depth to the roots. It withers and dies quickly as you came in. You're gone. And we've seen people like this, people who dazzle us. They come in and say, wow, man, I've never seen anybody come in here and set this church on fire like that in a long time. And as soon as they come in and act like they're on fire, about that quick they're gone. You say, where'd they go? Well, they're like that shooting star that burnt out. They set us ablaze for a while. They oohed in on us for a little bit, but well, they're not to be found anymore. What happened? Had no root. Had no root. Stony ground here. They just endured for a while. Thirdly, it says in verse 22, he that receives seed among the thorn is here that heareth the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, they choke out the world, the word. If you go to Mark and to Luke, they also add the lusts of other things, the pleasures of other things. The cares of the world choke out the world, the Word of God. I speak to you this morning. I know there are a lot of cares in the world, a lot of things going on, a lot of things that trouble you. Got lots going on in your family, a lot's going on in your life. And you know what will happen unless God prepares your heart to receive the Word of God? The cares of the world will choke out the Word. They'll just choke it out. That's why the Lord says to His people, Don't be anxious about what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall wear. He said, after these things the Gentiles seek. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. And then there's the deceitfulness of riches. Not just riches, but the deceitfulness of riches. Because riches deceive us into thinking that's where happiness can be found. That's where real joy can be found. If I could get something new, oh, how happy I would be. If I could just get that house I want. If I could just get that new dress that I want. If I could get that new automobile that I want. I'd have real happiness. Riches deceive us into thinking that's where real joy can be found. And you and I both know you get something new, and before long the newness of it wears out. And we find out that's deceitful. I was deceived into thinking that would really make me happy. The deceitfulness of riches. And Mark adds the lusts of other things. Luke adds the pleasures. Choke out the seed. But here's the last thing. Some seed falls into good ground, verse 23. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bringeth forth or beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. This is a heart prepared by the Holy Spirit to receive the word of God. Because the heart is not good by nature. It's only good by grace. It's made good by the Spirit of the Lord. He makes us to understand the gospel of how God can be just and justify the ungodly. Mark puts it this way in Mark 4:20, "These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word of God and receive it." They receive it. And oh, I hope this morning as I've been sowing the seed that you receive it. That's what we want. Listen, folks, we don't preach the gospel. We don't give out the word of God just to give out information. I mean, we've got to give it out. You've got to have the information. But I want you to be saved. I want something to happen to you. I want God to intervene. It isn't that we're, okay, take it or leave it, I don't care. We do care. We do care. That's why we exist as a congregation, for the glory of God, for the good of those who listen to us. And we sow the seed, asking God for an increase. And we say this morning, Lord, oh Lord, would you prepare every heart to receive this word that's gone forth? Would you dig deep into us? Lord, give us a new heart, a heart of faith. Whether he does or not, now that's up to him. But still, put our hand in the bag. We pull out another handful of good seed. And here we go. And you may be wayside hearer. The birds are going to come down. Maybe they've already come down, snatched it away. Or you just trod underfoot, say, I'm not going to have any of this stuff. That's a bunch of foolishness. Why, that guy's hard to understand, or I don't like the way he preaches, or whatever. I don't like this church. Just trod underfoot. Some of you, stony ground. I can't get down there where the stone's at, but he can. And others, the thorny ground hears. And all this stuff in the world chokes out the word. But thank God, many of us have good ground. The seed falls on good ground, produces a harvest. Not all soils alike, and so we bear fruit for the glory of God, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, goodness, faith, all these. not to equal me. We're not, as children of God, we're not all alike. We bear fruit, different measure, but we bear fruit for the glory of God. May the Lord make His word successful in our hearts. Let's get our